So kids, if you want to head out with Cara this week, I think it is, that'd be good. Can I just encourage, if you're not, which we do rotors and stuff for Jam Packed, if you're not meant to be teaching this week, can I ask you just to stay in? Because I just think we do a rota deliberately because we want to make sure that everyone's hearing what's being said. And I just, for this next series, I want to try and make sure as much of the church is hearing what's being said as possible. So if you're not on the rota this week, then please stay in. If Cara needs some help, I'm sure she'll come out and grab somebody if it's needed. That'd be good. Because I know that those that are out there are listening online and catching up and all that kind of stuff. So that'd be good. We doing okay? That's two of you. We're doing better than we were with the one of us at the start. So it's all good. Starting a new series this week. And so if you're visiting, you've come on a great week to just sort of get the beginnings of where we're going to go. So we're just going to scratch the surface a little bit on some stuff that I think God has been speaking through our services with words that have been bought, through scriptures that have been read. And just in my mind as I go away, I'm piecing it together and just thinking, God, what are you doing? What are you speaking to us about? And I'm just really excited. So I think this is a significant series for us because I believe as a church we stand on an invitation. We're standing on an invitation. God is always wanting us to move forward. If you are stationary or moving backwards, we need to press forwards. God is wanting us to move from one degree of glory to another. He is inviting us to move forward. And I think as a church, we stand on this invitation line where he's calling us, will you step? Will you step in? Will you step over? If you remember, at the start of this year, I did a series called Embrace the Space. And this is almost Embrace the Space Part 2. Okay, I didn't want to call it Embrace the Space Part 2 because I think there's two dynamics to what God was speaking to us about. But Embrace the Space, I showed this picture at the beginning and right on cue, it's going to come up on the screen. There it is. Round of applause for those doing visual and audio and everything. This side is still more spiritual. This side are giving more thanks. And I'm going to preach this side today. Is that okay? Not to make you this side feel bad, but they're doing better. So come on. But I showed this picture and I said, for me, this is actually what I think the kingdom of God looks more like. And we explored what the kingdom of God is. That the kingdom of God we so often put over there and we put ourselves here. And the kingdom of God seems like it's this thing that's out of reach. But actually the kingdom of God is wanting to break into the here and now. And actually as disciples, we're called to embrace the space where it's breaking in and to see it break in with more frequency and greater power. And I believe that that there of where God is will fully consume the hero of this earth. That actually eternity looks a lot more like this than it does floating on a cloud. As the kingdom of God is fully established on earth as it is in heaven. And you can listen back to that series and that'll help you give a bit of a platform because we're calling this series Naturally Supernatural. Naturally Supernatural. Why? Because I believe that God's invitation line is to say, church, are you really wanting to see my kingdom in Stratford, my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? Are you really wanting that? That's the invitation. And my prayer is that as a church, we'll not just begin to realize what the kingdom of God is and what it looks like and what it's about, but we'll begin to experience it. Not just realize, but experience. So the first part of this series was Embrace the Space, understanding what the kingdom of God is all about, and we explored that. And now we're going to look at the practical. How do we start to see that happen around us? That it would become a reality of our journey and not just a destination that we long for. The reality of our days would be something of God moving in and through us. Now, as I say naturally supernatural, you may be sat there thinking, oh, no. Really? You know. Because supernatural means being weird. You know, it just means I've got to do weird stuff. But let me tell you, we're talking about being naturally supernatural. Let me tell you, naturally supernatural. This isn't about just getting weird for God. This is about seeing God move in and through our lives to impact us and the people around us. Others of you might be writing yourself off because you think, well, I'm just not spiritual enough. I'm not as spiritual as that person over there that seems to do all the right stuff at the right time and says all the right phrases and knows the Bible upside down, inside out, and back to front. So I'm just going to disengage from this series because I am not a super Christian and there's no way that I could be used by God in the way that you might be suggesting. Can I tell you, you don't need to be a super Christian? Let's just banish that thought right away. Can we just say that in this room there are no super Christians? Even the ones you're looking at thinking they're a super Christian. No, they're not. Because they still struggle with the similar stuff that you struggle with. They're still challenged by the same things that you're challenged by. We write ourselves off so easily because we think they're more qualified. Can I tell you, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. So when we step out, I'm stepping out. Every week I'm here, I'm stepping out thinking, I'm not qualified to do this. But God, You're the one. You're the one. You're the one. And so let me just encourage you and ask you a question. What is the normal Christian life? What does the normal Christian life look like? What does it look like to be a Christian? It's interesting, I was watching a program last night and they made reference to Christians, and of course it was derogatory about us being anti this and against that. And I think the world look at us and think, well, I think they're do-gooders, but they've got all these principles that get in the way. That we're just do-gooders, that we help old ladies across the street. Tick, can do that one. Or that we give a cup of coffee to a homeless guy, because we don't give him money, because we don't know what he's going to spend on it. So we'll give him a cup of coffee, because we assume that's what he needs. And so we give him a cup of coffee. Or we volunteer at food banks or other community projects. Tick. I can do all of that stuff. That's great. So I'm a really good Christian. So in other words, we say that being a Christian is being a do-gooder or being nice. And that sums up Christianity. But I'm not so sure. Because I'm not sure those things are exclusively Christian. I'm not sure that Christians have the monopoly on niceness. I know plenty of nice atheists that would help old grannies across the street, that would give a cup of coffee to a homeless guy. But I mean, they've got nothing of God. They're not Christians. I believe that being a Christian is about seeing that God wants to break into our ordinary with His extraordinary power, and we need to learn to say yes more and more. That actually what makes us unique is the power of God within us. That the same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in who? Us. In you, in me. Not just in them over there. The power of God transforms that moment when you give a cup of coffee to a homeless guy, and it doesn't become about being nice. It's about, God, this is a moment where Your kingdom can break in into this circumstance, into this situation, into that person's life. And so we carry something of the presence of God that is completely unique to Christians. The minute you surrender your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes residence. And I don't want to debate about whether it happens at salvation or whether it happens subsequently. I really don't care about that debate. I just know that I need the presence of God. Surrender your life to Him and ask for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for it is debauchery." Do not get drunk with wine. That may be a word of God for some of you in here. Do not get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get drunk with wine, because it leads to debauchery, leads to an immoral life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, a better translation of that would be, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's present continuous. So I don't care what experience you had 2 years ago with the Holy Spirit. Fantastic. I hope it was brilliant. I don't care what happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 25 years ago. I don't care how filled you feel or how lacking you feel. We need to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Something that happens all the time. We're like broken vessels that leak. And we need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives continually filling us to overflowing. So it impacts those around us. Go on being filled. It's what makes us Christian. It's what makes us unique. It's about the Holy Spirit of God within you, using you, and using you in those completely ordinary moments. Isn't that typical of God? To use those moments that humanity write off. This is just my introduction, by the way. To use those moments, like walking to work, or getting on the bus, or doing your food shop, that the rest of humanity says, I've just got to get this job done. Come on, I've got to just need to get it done as quickly as I can, because then I'm going to get onto the important stuff. But God says, no, those moments are moments that I want to break into. That you have no idea what I am wanting to do. When you go, oh, I always shop at, let's be posh, we're in Stratford. I always shop at Waitrose. But God, for some reason, I just feel like I should go to Aldi this week. Don't know why, just seems really weird. But they don't have what I want, they haven't got the brands I like, but I can't, fine, I'll go there. And then God does something, because we've been willing to say, in my ordinary moments, I'm willing to say yes to Your extraordinary power. Because we've just lent in to that little suggestion from God of saying, I've got something. It's not Waitrose this week, though. It's Aldi. Are you going to go? Are you going to change your routine? Are you going to change your plan? Because I want to break in and I want to break through. And suddenly that mundane thing suddenly has the power of God upon it. So if you've got a Bible, we believe in the Bible here. So we read from the Bible. If you've got a Bible, Exodus 33. We read this a few weeks ago. And I just felt God was speaking to us in that moment as we were starting, as I was processing and starting this series. Because in Exodus, we had this nation, chosen God, God's chosen people, and they're in exile in Egypt. Okay, long story short, they found themselves in Egypt and they're in exile. And then this guy called Moses turns up and he's floating down a river. And Pharaoh's daughter's having a bit of a bath and she sees this baby in the water. And her heart breaks for this little baby and she takes him in. And this Hebrew man, Moses, is brought up in the household of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And then you may know from Sunday school or growing up or reading your Bible that Mo then has this moment where he is walking through Egypt and he sees one of the Egyptians abusing a Hebrew man and he kills the Egyptian and then he's on the run. And so it's not good for Moses. And then we have the burning bush and the plagues and the pillar of fire and cloud. And then we see the Red Sea parting and we have this bread from heaven that comes to sustain. Just amazing stuff, isn't it? As you're reading through, just thinking, goodness me. It's like this guy's seen it all. And then we have the Ten Commandments. And then Moses gets angry as he comes down with the Ten Commandments and he smashes them. It's like what not to do when God gives you something is just smash it up. And so he's back up on the mountain before God again. And he's getting another lot of commandments from God because he smashed the first lot. So we get a front row little seat in this conversation just before Moses gets the second lot of Ten Commandments. It says the same stuff, it's just second tablets. And we have this over these next 2 weeks. So we'll explore the first few verses this week and then the next lot of verses next week. But just in verse 12 of chapter 23, it says, Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know whom you will send me with. You have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if you have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Wow. We need to know God to find favor. It's about knowing him in order to gain grace and favor. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? God, we just thank you for your word. I just thank you that every time we open it, it's just like another jewel. It's just like another little glimmer of something that you're challenging us and pulling us forward towards you. Lord, I just pray as we spend these next few minutes just gathered around your word, will you please just come and speak to us in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. So recently, Cara and I have been deciding about the whole online streaming thing. You know, you can watch whatever you want, whenever you want online. So as I understand it, there's two main players. You've got Netflix and you've got Amazon Prime. Oh, a little whoop for Netflix. Netflix or Amazon Prime? And we've been like, which do we go for? Because there's stuff on both of them. Oh, we got another vote for Netflix. So we've been debating, so I may be controversial here as what I'm about to say, but we've gone for the free trials for both of them, for like Amazon Prime and Netflix. And I'm looking at Netflix and going, it's great, it's got some really good programs on there that we like. And but then I'm looking at Amazon Prime, I'm like, Amazon Prime, you get a lot for your money. So I'm not just getting movies and TV, I'm getting some music and I'm getting ebooks and I'm getting next day delivery on anything I order. For me, I'm like, that is phenomenal. So for me, who's like grown up with the swell of this online thing, it's like, I used to have to go into shops, which I hate. Christmas shopping was the worst thing of my life, having to go into shops and busy shops at that. So now, I don't have to even leave my house, and I don't even have to wait. I'm like, I don't know how I can overemphasize this. It's like, this is Amazon is next to godliness, because the next day, I am going to get my, I want something today, and I get it tomorrow. How good is that? I don't even have to wait. I don't have to move. I don't have to stress. And I don't have to wait. I wonder how many of us treat God like that. I wonder how many of us approach God like that. I'm going to purchase a bit of your forgiveness today because that's what I need. I'll browse the departments of God's glory for what he's got. And then I'm just going to sit back and wait for your delivery. going to sit back and just wait because you're God and you make it all happen. Next day delivery on all that stuff. Struck me one Saturday morning. Saturdays are like our family day. We try and keep them as clear as we can. And every Saturday morning, it usually starts the same way, where the kids come into our bed and we just have fun in bed and rolling around, all that kind of stuff. And every Saturday morning, Reuben does the same thing. We put him in bed next to us, and he will always climb over me to get to the bedside, because that's where my phone and my watch are. And he loves phones and watches. And so this Saturday, it wasn't yesterday, it was a week ago. He gets in bed and he climbs over and grabs my watch and my phone. And I find myself saying these words. And bear in mind, this is at the same time that I'm looking at Amazon Prime and Netflix and on demand, when I want it now, all that stuff. And I say these words out loud, and I said, "You don't want me, you just want my stuff. You don't want me, you just want my stuff. God, I'm not so fussed about you. I love your stuff, though. Love some of that forgiveness and some of that grace. Love some of that power. But ultimately, God wants us to seek his presence. As we seek his presence, those things come. But it's because we seek his presence. See, Moses, in this passage, he's fretting about the job he's got in hand. Moses was good at that, getting angry and fretting about what was going to happen. And I think we can relate to that. God, you've asked me to do this, but you've not shown me how it's going to be done. You've not shown me who's going to come and help. You've given me this burden and I'm not seeing the resources. You say you've seen me and you know me. Well, God, I'm asking you to prove it, because you can clearly see what I need. And after all, they're your people. He says, this is your people. I mean, how bold is that of Moses? Speaking to God, these are your people. Moses sees the task in hand. He sees what needs to be done. There's no lack of vision, but apparently there's a lack of resources. And he's taking that to God. And what's God's response? "There, there, Mo, just ask for whatever it is you need. You just list it off and I'll give it to you. Because that's who I am. I'm a generous God who will give. And I'll give you next day delivery right to your tent. There, there, Moses, what can I do to make you feel more comfortable? Just browse the whole array of my nature, my character. Select whatever you want. Bit of grace, bit of mercy, bit of compassion, bit of wonder-working power. What is it you need? Just ask and it's yours." No. God, in verse 14, he says, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." You know what you need, Moses? Not my stuff. You need me. That's what you need. Guys, if you want a title for today's sermon, it's this first in the series of Naturally Supernatural, and this is part one of "The Power is in His Presence." See, the power is in his presence, not your ability or even the gifts of God within you. You don't need all this stuff. No, 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 no. What you need is his presence. And we need to fight to pursue and to seek his presence. Galatians 5. This chapter in the New Testament that Paul writes. Paul had an amazing encounter with God, and he then describes this life with the Spirit, life in step with the Spirit. And he lists the life that is against the Spirit of God. And he does this big long list, and he goes on about sexual immorality and impurity, idolatry, sorcery, jealousy, fits of anger, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, all these things that he lists. And it's just like, man, what were they up to? Goodness me, the life out of step with the Spirit. And then he goes on to talk about something called the fruit of the Spirit. And he says that life that is filled with the Spirit of God will be full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Amazing list of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you may be nothing like me, but this is how I used to approach the fruit of the Spirit. This is what I used to do. I used to come before God, and I'd be like, getting before God, and I'd be praying, I'd be going, "God, I know I'm not very patient at the moment. I know that's a fruit of your Spirit, and the life of the Spirit is evidence because you have patience. But God, I shouldn't be a doctor because I've got no patience." There's another bad joke for you. I'm just really struggling with patience. "So God, will you just give me some patience? Amen." And then I was taught this: the test will come. You've asked for patience, and now God will test you. Because you've asked for patience, so the way God will bring patience into your life is to put you in circumstances where you need to show patience. So watch out for it, because the test's coming. So I would then go, "God, I know you're going to test me, so I'm just going to be prepared. I'm just going to be super patient in all these circumstances. When I'm stuck in traffic jams, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Just showing patience. Thank you, Jesus. You're just flooding my life with patience." And then a number of weeks later, I would come back to God, and I'd be like, "God, I'm so sorry. Because yesterday was the test, wasn't it? Yesterday was that moment when you tested me, when I was really in a rush, and I was in a rush because I was doing godly things, and I was doing really good stuff, and I was in a rush, and I had to wait 35 minutes for that person in the shop to come and serve me, and then they forgot about what I wanted, and I lost it. And that was the test, and now I failed. Clearly, I'm not in step with the Spirit because I've got no patience in my life. And that was what my journey with the fruit of the Spirit was like. Asking God, waiting for the test, failing, coming back again and saying, God, clearly I haven't got it. I need some more. Until I realized that it's not about what God can give you, but it's about being with Him. That actually, if I want patience in my life, I need to get into the presence of the most patient lover of humanity, that overflows patience out of Him. And as I spend time with Him, suddenly that naturally becomes a part of my life. That I'm struggling to love the unlovable, but actually out of the overflow of spending time in His presence, that's just natural. I'm not pursuing the patience, the love. It's just an overflow of having spent time in His presence. The only way genuine patience will flow out of me is spending time with the One who is patient. And it's the same with anything that Paul talks about as we look, and we're going to look practically at the gifts of the Spirit and how the kingdom of God is used in before humanity. And we can look at prophecy and healing and gifts of words of knowledge and speaking to all these things that we can pursue. And actually God's saying, no, they are an overflow of having been in my presence. Have you ever been around somebody that you suddenly start acting like them? Suddenly started realizing that you've got the same mannerisms or the same phrases because you've just spent time with them. That's what it's like being a Christian, that our mannerisms, our phrases, the way we do life suddenly starts to slowly change and shift and becomes more like God the Father because we've been spending time in His presence. Let's not make the same mistake that I made when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, because my goal was what I could get from Jesus rather than my relationship with Jesus. Oh, the one thing I ask, the one thing I seek after is that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon His beauty and inquire in His temple. It's about His presence. It's about His presence because that's what makes us distinct. That's what makes us unique, not being able to give a cup of coffee in the right moment, not being able to even show patience in that midst of that turmoil. It's His presence that makes us distinct. Right from the beginning of time, God has longed to be in relationship with His creation. And as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, God's cry was, "Where are you? Where are you, humanity? I want to be with you." And from that moment on, humanity has been hiding from God. And the rest of Scripture and the rest of our days is about God seeking to draw humanity back to Himself. And Moses got that. Moses understood. Look at verse 15. He said, "And he said to him, if your presence," God speaking to Moses, "if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Do not move me a single step forward if it's not without your presence. I don't want that promotion at work if it's not without your presence. I don't want that to happen in my life if it's not without your presence. I don't even want to see you move in power if it's not without your presence. Because your presence is the thing we seek. If your presence will not go with me, do not bring me up from here. For how shall it be known that I have favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct?" God causes people to be distinct. He causes people to be holy and to be set apart. How do we do that? It's His presence. It's not because I'm striving to be spiritual or holy. It's His presence. I and your people from every other people on the face of the earth. It's never been about what we can do. It's about who we've been with. It's not about what we can do. It's about who we have been with. I've noticed in my journey as a Jesus follower, there seems to be some people that God uses more than others. And I've explored that throughout the whole of my life. Why do you use them more than that person there? And do you know, as I've got to know some of these people in my life, the ones that God uses are those that faithfully seek His presence. Not my agenda, not what I want, not what I need. His presence. Day in, day out. Even when it doesn't make sense. Even when I'm baffled by it, I'm seeking His presence. We had Paul Hudson here last week. Hands up, he is one of the godliest men that I know. The more and more I've got to know Paul, often the more and more you get to know somebody, the more and more they let you down. It's called marriage. I mean Cara for me, not me for Cara. Just clarify that. But with Paul, the more and more I've got to know him, the more and more I've seen God shine through in his life, through the ups and the downs. And he is faithfully seeking God. People don't know. People don't see it. But he is faithfully working working to seek the presence of God. It's not about what we can do for God. It's about how close we are to him. And it's not about being perfect. It's not about being a super Christian. There are no shortcuts to this, church. There's no key I can give you that will say, turn this lock and you'll instantly be in the presence of God. Turn this lock and suddenly you will get it all. There is no shortcut. And there is no next day delivery where you sit back and put your feet up, church. We have to work at this. We have to work at seeking God. And can I tell you honestly, my journey with God sometimes felt like a big game of hide and seek. That I suddenly feel like I've got him. There's his presence, and then it feels like it's gone again. And I have to keep pursuing, and I have to keep getting in and saying, do you know what, God, I find this really hard today, but I need to seek your presence. Because you see, unlike Amazon, that we have no idea who has packed that parcel and wrapped it and sent it to us, we are not meant to be disconnected from the sender when it comes to God. He wants relationship with us. And so we have to pursue and we have to dig in, and it takes time. Sometimes the work that you have to put in to pick up that Bible, to get to that church service, to be a part of that DNA group, to step out when you sense God is telling you to go, to pray in the face of distraction, sometimes that work is the toughest work you will ever face. I'm a church leader and I face the same challenges. Some days it seems like everything is more pressing than pressing in to his presence. It's the reality of the life we lead, but he wants relationship with us. See, I love the story in Luke 5. I'm going to come into land. I love the story in Luke 5 where these guys are so desperate to get into the presence of God. They will do anything. Their friend is, apparently he can't walk, he is lay out on a bed, and they know that the only way they're going to receive that healing is from the presence of God. And so we see this amazing moment in Luke 5 where this group of mates are so desperate to get their sick friend before Jesus. Look what happens in Luke 5. I think it'll come up on the screen. And he says, behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him before Jesus because they knew that the only way this guy was going to receive what he needed was in the presence of Jesus. It was the presence of Jesus that they were seeking. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. I mean, how desperate were they? They get to this house and it is all completely crowded. There's no way they can get in. What are we going to do? I know. Let's go and remodel the house. Let's get up on the roof and let's start ripping the roof off this place. Can you imagine being the homeowner I'm assuming he was the one in the house because it was his house and he would have been there when Jesus arrived. And he's looking up and seeing this roof being ripped off. And it says in verse 24, Jesus said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed and go home. And immediately he rose up before him, picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. See, when you seek the presence of God, you experience his blessings. Not the other way around. God, I want your blessings. Bring them now. No. He's saying, I want you to seek my presence. Out of the overflow of that, you'll experience the blessing. When we seek his presence, we experience his power. It just happens. And in the presence of Jesus, these men find the miracle of forgiveness and then the miracle of healing, rising up and walking, all because of their undivided desire by the friends of this man to get into the presence of God. Church, there are people in your life, as I was reading this is what struck me. There are people in your life that may only experience the power of God because you choose to seek his presence. Like that man who found his healing and was able to walk, it was because his friends desired the presence of Jesus. There might be your neighbors, your friends, your families who will only experience the power of God in their life because you choose to have an undivided heart to seek his presence. God works in and through that. So church, what's the roof in your life? What's the roof that you need to break through to get into the presence of God? Is it busyness, lack, inadequacy, apathy, pain, torment, pride, kids? No matter what it is, we need to break through the roof to get into his presence. Because that's what makes us different. It's not in your going with us that we are distinct, because you're with us that we look different. Church, I have this crazy dream. This crazy dream that we would see increasing numbers of people gathering, not because church is the done thing or because we want to grow a big church. I'm not interested in that. I want to grow stacks of disciples that are making other disciples. But this crazy dream that every time we gather as a church, we will have too many stories of what God's doing. That our times together will be consumed of, oh, can I just tell you this happened this week. You'd never believe what God did this week. Oh, that happened to you. No way. Can I just share this? Because you're just not going to believe this, what God did this week. And we have increasing stories of what God is doing in our town and beyond. That every time we meet, we can't help but celebrate all that God is doing, because we're so consumed by his presence that we cannot help but impact our town. That when we're walking around our town and we're engaging with people and they say, something different about you. And you just go, yeah, people have told me that before. I don't know. All I can tell you is I've been with Jesus. That's all I can tell you. I'm not trying to be different. I'm not trying to show it. I'm not trying to allow God to move in and through my life. I was just with him this morning and look what's happening. That starts to get me excited. Ian, can you just come up and start to play for us? As I speak this morning, I'm sure that there are some who are struggling this morning. I'm sure there are some who seeking his presence is not a reality for you. Feeling close to God is not where you are right now. I was close to him in the past, but I'm struggling now. Don't have the fire that I once had. Church, can we be real with each other this morning? Church, surely we can be honest in church. Are you struggling to seek his presence? Are you struggling to find the energy to pursue him? Maybe distractions become your excuse every day. Can we just stand together? If you're able to, let's just stand. Maybe you're the other end and you're saying, no, I'm doing really good. Closest to God I've ever been. Just feel his presence. And every time I'm walking out of the house, it's just like, God, can you just stop using, please? Because it's just like, I need to get on with what I've got to do. And you just feel so close to him, and that's great. But what about the person next to you? You might be sat there going, that was a lovely sermon, John. Well done. Some nice, funny stories again. You made us laugh. Thanks very much. Going to go home feeling really good. I feel great anyway. God's good. He's ruling and reigning. What about the person next to you? Because we're a community, aren't we? We're a family, aren't we? Maybe the person next to you or the person across the room has caught your eye for the last number of weeks and you just felt, I wonder if they're struggling. Or maybe it's you and you're just like, I wish somebody would ask me if I'm okay. God, if you're real, will somebody today ask me if I'm doing okay? Because I'm willing to be vulnerable enough to say I'm not. I'm struggling. I'm not even sure if God's real right now. Can I ask you, if you're that person, don't wait for somebody to come to you. Go to somebody. Maybe somebody you look at and just think, wow, they're really godly. Because the chances are they've struggled in their life just as much as you are. Ask them to go for a coffee. Maybe you're ruling and reigning and feel like you're champion of the world and God, can I ask you, go across the divide and ask somebody to go for a coffee this week. Coffee is our excuse, you see. Not to say, oh, I think you're struggling. What's the sin in your life? Let's tackle that. What are you doing that's not godly in you? Let's tackle that, because then you'll sense his presence. No. Coffee is our excuse to get together and talk about Jesus. If you're struggling, go for a coffee with somebody else in our family community. Stop making excuses. It doesn't even need to be coffee. If you don't like coffee, just go for a walk, whatever it is. We are a community that love each other. Get together and talk about Jesus. Hebrews 12, I'm landing the plane and we're going to pray for some people, but Hebrews 12 says, keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm using the Message translation. You can read it in whichever one you like, but I just thought this, Eugene Peterson does something beautiful with it. It says, close your eyes as I read this. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we are in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish line and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. Here we go. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again. Rehearse it, retell it, relive it. Item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Church, if you are struggling this morning, do you know what you need? To retell, rehearse, relive, go through it again with a friend. The story of Jesus. This is the antidote to a faith that is faltering. This is how we get into his presence. Through all that Jesus has done. Verse 12 of Hebrews 12, just flicking back to a translation you might know well, it says, therefore strengthen feeble arms and weak knees, make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled but rather healed. You know, arms are this picture of strength. Maybe you feel like you're lacking strength. Knees are this picture of movement. Maybe you feel like you've stopped moving forward. Strengthen feeble arms and weak knees. If you're lacking in strength and you're not seeing movement, maybe you're feeling lame. You know, every scholar agrees that this passage here is plural. He's speaking to the community. If you're feeble, your friend can come alongside you and you can talk about Jesus. You can make the path level for them. This picture of a walking community that would walk along a path, and when they saw a rock, they'd kick it out the way. When they saw a weed, they'd pick it up so the people behind them had a level path to walk through. Maybe that's your calling for this season, to help others get a level path. Maybe you're the one behind stumbling because the people in front of you haven't made the path level for you. We get together and we talk about Jesus. Church's presence is here. And I pray as we've been talking this morning, you're getting a sense of his presence. And I'm praying right now, as every eye is closed, every head is bowed. Holy Spirit of God, will you start to stir in us a hunger for your presence? Give us a desire for the rest of our days to pursue you. Church, no matter whether you feel like you're filled or not, we've been reminded Galatians 5 says, go on being filled. Present continuous. Now, in the next half hour, this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, June, September, 2019, go on being filled. So right now, maybe you've never cried out to the Holy Spirit to fill your life. Maybe you feel a sense of, I kind of understand God, but I just don't think I've got his presence. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, just pour yourself out. Just encourage you, outward expression of what God's doing inside. Just put your hands out if you need the infilling of the Holy Spirit right now in your life.